7 Ways You Are Hindering Your Church's Health, Part 1. There are many articles out there talking about how to spot signs that your church is sick or the like. Many of them seem to blame the leaders of a church for its overall health. But when was the last time you reflected on the things you may be doing or not that could be worsening the health of your church? It is easy to point the finger at the leaders of a church for their lack of wisdom or lack of good leadership skills or their lack of this, that, and the other. But many times, a church's health can be measured by the health of its individual parts, its members. Remember, the church is the body of Christ, and if you, being a part of the body, are not doing your duty to stay healthy, you are hindering the health of the whole. Below are some things that you may be doing that are contributing to the poor health of your church. Don't feel too bad if some of these things apply to you. They have applied to all of us at some time or another, but do attempt to change the ones that apply to you. We must all strive to grow in our walk with Christ and maintain our spiritual health so that we may be a blessing to others, especially those in the church. Point 1. You rely on your pastors for all of your spiritual nourishment. One man, or even a team, cannot be responsible for all of your spiritual nourishment. This is also your responsibility as a follower of Christ. When was the last time you had a question about a passage or verse and went looking for the answer yourself? Or even asked your pastor for guidance on where to find the answer? A pastor is to be your shepherd, yes, but he can't make you nourish yourself, no matter how hard he preaches. If you are waiting for Sunday's message to receive spiritual food, you are already starving and don't even know it. Throughout the week, try to at least read a passage in Scripture or a solid devotional daily. If you can't find the time to actually read, then listen to an audio version of the Bible, or play a teaching podcast in your car. With today's technology, it is easier than ever to access the Word of God and be fed by many great teachers. Just be careful who you listen to, and we'll talk about that soon. Point 2. You believe God saves, but you never speak to people about Him. Yes, there are those who have the gift of evangelizing, and that's great. But you are still commanded by Jesus Himself to make disciples, or at least to mention God in your conversations every once in a while. Instead of only talking about the latest political scandal or upcoming movie with someone, let them know about God as well. Let them know you serve the Almighty, and let them know that they can know Him too. Speaking about God with people is oftentimes difficult, I understand, but in many occasions it's natural. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your conversations, and do not be afraid or ashamed of Jesus and the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. Remember, how will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. Even if you do not have the gift of evangelizing or preaching, make the effort for Christ. Point 3. You worship God, but only when the band is playing. Yes, I know music is among the best ways to worship God. I happen to think it's the best because I'm a musician. But in all seriousness, when was the last time you thoughtfully, prayerfully, sincerely, and truthfully worshiped God before you went into the sanctuary to sing with the band? Friends, this should not be. Music, as I've said before, is only one way of worshiping God. You should already go into the sanctuary with a worshipful heart, having prayed and repented, not waiting for the band to put you in that state. That's not their job. It's yours and the Holy Spirit's. You may ask, well, what are some other ways I can worship God? Here's a short list. Love God. Pray to Him. Thank God. Praise Him. Read the Bible. Meditate on a passage. Read one of the Psalms aloud. Sing or dance to God. Bow down on your knees while praying. Stand up with your hands to the heavens while praising Him. Think about Him. Serve Him with your life. Do away with all idols. Honor Him with your bodies, etc. There are many other ways. But in the end, worshiping God is about lifting His name and reverencing Him for who He is and what He has done and will do. It is about giving Him all your heart, mind, body, and soul, giving Him your life. Don't wait for the music to start. Point 4. You support your favorite programs, but not the poor. Now, this one can be controversial, but it is true. It is the fact that people will spend their money on what they enjoy, like, or believe in. Judging by the amount of events that most churches are hosting or promoting, many people enjoy, like, and believe in church programs, and that's fine. But what about the people Jesus called us all to help? What about the poor and the needy? Yes, I realize that many churches support ministries that tend to the poor and needy, but those ministries are often overshadowed by other social events, if we're being honest. Which ones do you support? You are one of God's chosen people to make a difference in others' lives, even on a personal level. If you have the means to house a poor person, think about it, pray about it, and then do it. Use your resources wisely to help those around you who may be in need. And do not merely rely on the church programs to be implemented that would serve the people Jesus calls us all to minister. Take a look at Proverbs 19:17, Proverbs 28:27, Matthew 5:42, Matthew 25:35-40, Romans 12:13, and James 2:15-17. Point 5. You know your spiritual gifts, but rarely use them at church. When was the last time you used your spiritual gift or gifts? Do you even know what your gifts may be? In the current church culture, it is sometimes difficult for all believers to use their gifts appropriately. Many times, it seems only leaders within the church use their gifts. But every member's spiritual gifts are given by God and are important to the health of the church. Perhaps the only place to truly use your gift is in a small group, as some gifts are easier to use in smaller settings anyways, so seek to use them there. But why aren't you using yours now? Sure, you can blame it on the church's organizational structure, but there are always people around you that you can minister to with your gifts, which God gave you to use. You do not always have to be inside a church building or at a church event to use your spiritual gifts. Also, if you have more than one gift, you are not limited to using just one of them. Use your gift or gifts to glorify God and to serve others in your church and community. You can find your spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and verse 28. Point number 6. You spend time fellowshipping, but not praying. Fellowship is an extremely important aspect of being a Christian. We need people, but sometimes we need to pray even more. Sometimes we get caught up in all of the fellowship opportunities and neglect to have a substantial time of prayer, whether individually or corporately. Now I can hear you saying, but we pray when we fellowship, and that may be true. However, I am more focused on a certain attitude, that of being available for a fellowship event or party, but not to a significant prayer time, if there ever is one. It is good for you to be with people, to be in a community where Christ's love is evident. It is good for you to attend fellowship events and parties where you share in a good time and food with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But when the church calls for a prayer meeting, do you go? When your small group spends more time playing than it does praying, do you feel moved to speak up? And when your friend says they need prayer, do you actually pray for them? If you answered no to any of those questions, you are not alone, but clearly this is not how it should be. Prayer is vital to a church's health. Acts 2:42. Point 7. You want to be wise, but you never seek the counsel of godly seniors. When you were younger, did you ever like talking with your grandparents and asking them difficult questions to tap into their seemingly infinite wisdom? Why don't you do so now? If your grandparents are no longer with you, how about your parents? And even if they are no longer with you, how about the seniors at your church? God allows people to grow old for many reasons, one of those being the fact that they can still teach others about God and life, assuming they have a godly wisdom. Proverbs 20:29 says, "The honor of old men is their gray hair." So often, it is the case in many churches that the seniors or the elderly are ignored and have no influence on the younger generations. Are you one of those people ignoring them? Did you know that in the church, older women are supposed to be teaching the younger ones how to be reverent, to do good, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, to be workers at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored? Titus 2:3-5. I would imagine the same goes for the older men teaching the younger ones. It would be a great event to see the older, wiser, godly generations teaching the younger ones about God and life in the church, and maybe even giving their life's testimony as a Christian. The Bible uses a Greek word that means older men to describe those that are to lead the church. This does not mean, of course, that younger men and women cannot be wise, but it does imply that older people should be wiser, even by experience, and that if they are godly, their advice should be sought after by the younger people. Do you seek the counsel of godly seniors in your church? So these are just a few of the attitudes that you can avoid having and habits that you can avoid doing that could be detrimental to your church's health. May God bless you as you strive to be a blessing to your church.